Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we're still virtual, folks. We're not back in our normal spot inside Renaissance Bank in Alpharetta, but we still love the folks there. They have done an awesome job with small businesses. If you're a small business that is, maybe you went through the PPP process and you've decided you're ready for a more personal experience with your bank, you're tired of the big bank impersonality that you run up against and you can't find a real person to talk to that knows what's going on. Well, Renaissance Bank has got a lot of those folks that can help you, that know what's happening, that are helpful and courteous and get back to you and actually answer their own phone. So if that's something you'd like, check them out. They've got branches all over the North Atlanta area and beyond, 190 offices across the Southeast ready to serve you. So go to renaissancebank.com, find your nearest office, and give them a call. Check them out. And if you need a recommendation on who to call, email me, and I'll tell you, because I know some great folks there. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And I am nervous welcoming this next guest, because he truly is the biz communication guy. It's Dr. Bill Lampton with Championship Communication. Bill, you're the most eloquent guy I know, and I'm nervous.
John, you can calm your nerves, because I haven't graded anybody since I was a speech prof at University of Georgia, so the grading pencil is not handy.
Awesome. I am delighted that I'm not going to get graded. No, seriously. Old friend, you do some great work. And I'm delighted to have you on to highlight what you do for folks, and particularly right now. What you do is really needed. But for those that don't know you, give them an overview of what you do and how you help folks out there with your communications practice.
Thank you, John. You gave my tagline there, biz communication guy. That's what I do. I work with businesses to help them with their communication problems and find solutions to them. Sometimes that can be leaders of a business. Sometimes it can be small groups within the business. Sometimes I've worked with everybody in a business situation to identify, as I said, their communication problem, and more importantly, find solutions to them. And the reason I have this as my profession is because quite early in life, I found out the importance and the power of communication. I remember so well, I was a student at Millsaps College in Jackson, Mississippi, and was taking the required speech class, which a lot of people have to take. And John, I never dreamed that years later I would be teaching that at University of Georgia. But in the class, I remember so well, I was rather astounded by the fact that a student could research a subject, they could believe and come to believe in it, they could give a reasoned, impassioned presentation for 10 minutes, and quite possibly they could change somebody's opinion and maybe even change their behavior. That astounded me. And so recognizing the power of communication, I also was a history major. I noted that every important movement in history had a powerful communicator, even if it was Mahatma Gandhi with his nonverbal communication. And then later on, after my faculty career, I spent 20 years in management. And that's when I really saw the need for communication consulting, coaching, speech coaching, sales coaching, because in 20 years, I saw so many mistakes in communication that were crippling organizations. And I have to admit to you, John, I made most of those mistakes myself. So When I work with groups, I'm working not just from an academic background, but I'm working because I've seen not just from the negative side what improper communication can do for an organization, but on the plus side, I've seen some excellent examples of both individuals and corporations who communicate powerfully. And that's what I help people do, communicate clearly and persuasively.
Mm. Several things here. So I want to get right to what maybe some insecurities are around that folks have around communications. One of those is stage fright.
Yes. One of my favorite topics, because it is such a universal experience. In fact, I wrote an ebook a couple of years ago, 25 Ways to Control Your Stage Fright and Become a Highly Confident Speaker. And so I'll take a couple of nuggets from that book. One of the first things to note, John, is that I mentioned controlling your stage fright.
Hmm.
Some people come to me and say, hey, can you help me get rid of my stage fright? I don't want you to get rid of your stage fright because it really has advantages. John, I've heard you speak on several occasions to audiences talking about one of your most helpful topics, how we price our services. And in hearing you speak, I'm sure, unless you correct me, I'll bet you had some butterflies in your stomach before you started.
Of course.
Yes. Well, many people say, how can I get rid of that? You don't want to. And I like to use the illustration. Suppose you went to a college football team and your team came out of the locker room and went over and sat down on the bench and yawned. What kind of game would you be expecting? No, you want to see them coming out high-fiving each other and slapping each other and jumping up and down because you know they've got the energy for the situation.
Mm.
So this is why I say control your stage fright. Don't try to get rid of it. Welcome it because it energizes you, and handled correctly, it can energize the audience. Do you agree with that point?
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't there some creative tension in like when that red light goes live, which we're both used to, both of us being Business Radio X host, there's, and I want to get to that in a second, by the way. When the lights come up, there's some creative tension that really helps you perform better, don't you think?
It does. If you're lackadaisical, if you're sort of ho-hum, here, I've got to do this again. If you're on radio, your audience will know that. If you're before a live audience, they certainly are going to sense your lethargy and your indifference, and certainly you're not going to energize them.
For sure. Now, so, Bill, a couple of things. I guess one is one thing that people are always concerned about, and I know guests that come on my show say this, is I say too many ums and ahs and, I guess, fillers in conversation. Do you talk to clients about that?
The main thing I would tell a client on that is what I tell my speech coaching clients, mm-hmm. and that is nobody expects you to be perfect. They don't want you to be perfect. They don't want a robot. And in fact, those conversational fillers, as you call them, sure, if we have opportunities to listen to replays of what we've done and we've got an overabundance of them, that's something to pay attention to. But for the most part, when I'm teaching somebody, coaching somebody about their speaking, which can also be useful in their everyday conversation as well, and I hand them a list of items that I want them to pay attention to, one of them is I put, don't try to be perfect. And John, I purposely misspell the word perfect.
Oh, really?
I jumble it all to heck and back.
I love it.
So that they get the point. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, if you really want some entertainment, go to YouTube and type in television bloopers, our broadcast bloopers. And you can spend hours looking at bloopers that the very best professionals on radio and television have done, slips of the tongue, getting words mixed up, stammering. And guess what? They've still got a job, and they're the best in the business. So again, I like to say this is not whether you and I are talking now or whether someone is giving a speech to an audience. Here's where I like to have our mindset changed. Let's don't think of it as a presentation, even though I teach what's called presentation skills. Let's don't think of it as a performance. What's the best way to think of it? Think of it as a conversation. You're having a conversation with your audience. And if you and I went into the grocery store, John, and we happen to see a friend, we don't worry about these bloopers or the us and the the trying to find the right word and mispronouncing something. We just have a conversation with a friend. That's the very best approach I can think of for our professional presentations as well.
Folks, we're here with Dr. Bill Lampton. He's the biz communication guy. And Bill, so let's talk about words. Words are important. What words should we not use when we talk to our customers, our clients? And what should we say instead?
Good timing on asking that question, because I directed a webinar for the Hall Chamber of Commerce on that about a week ago. And I've done that as well for the Gwinnett Chamber, because to me, what we say to our customers or don't say to them, that's very, very important. We can have a wonderful showroom. We can have good prices. We can have ample parking. But if we say the wrong things, and I'm going to give just a couple of examples, some of which might surprise our listeners. Number one, when somebody comes into your place of business and they are obviously, shall we say, they've reached maturity and beyond, maybe our natural tendency to start a conversation is to say to them, "Are you retired?" Well, that's a wrong step, and here's why. If someone says to me, "Bill, are you retired?" my reply, which I probably wouldn't give, but I'm thinking, oh, do I look that useless? Do I look that worn out? Do I look that decrepit? Well, okay. So what would you say then instead of "Are you retired?" A very positive way, which could even come out as a compliment to the person, would be to say, "Tell me what you do professionally. I'm interested in that." And so here you've got somebody who's maybe been retired for 5 or 10 years, and they're thinking, "Gosh, isn't that nice? I still look vibrant and I look like I could perform our service still." So that's one I would give for sure.
I like that. Talk about, Bill, what I mean, because I'm sure there are probably some folks that are thinking, we're in a totally different environment right now. Why are we talking about speeches and communication? I mean, we're all on Zoom or some video conferencing app. Why is this as important right now? And what advice are you giving your clients on communicating through Zoom and other video communications platforms?
In my judgment, John, the power of communication, our ability to share our ideas interestingly and persuasively, is more necessary than it's ever been. I'll share what to me has been a longtime favorite quote, where Daniel Webster, one of America's great orators and statesmen, said, "If I were to lose all of my possessions except one, I would save the power of communication, for by it I would soon regain all of the rest." Now, that applies perfectly to today, because there are so many people who have been downsized or furloughed, and they're worried, justifiably so. Am I going to lose everything? How am I going to get back into the workforce? What kind of transition am I going to make? Well, if they have great ideas, that's a start, but they must be able to present those ideas to potential employers, to possible customers, to people who could partner with them business-wise. So instead of being irrelevant, being able to communicate forcefully and clearly and persuasively, that's the key now for thousands of us, millions of us, whose lives will probably never revert to what they were as far as the workforce is concerned.
For sure. As we were talking before we came on the air, I mean, we're in an environment which we came out of an environment that we may never see again, because we're in something new that we will see where it goes. But we're certainly, Zoom and all these applications are part of our everyday life now.
Absolutely.
Bill, talk about the, we're in something of a crisis. We seem to be coming out of the pandemic piece of all that. Hopefully we pray for that. But talk about a crisis communications plan that companies should implement. And what are the important aspects of that? What kind of guidelines do you recommend for something like that?
That's another favorite topic of mine. And I'll tell you what made me so connected to the topic early in my career. At that point, I was vice president of a college in Kentucky. And the president on Easter weekend, as it was approaching, said to me, "Bill, I'm going to be out of town this weekend. I don't guess you'd mind being acting president, would you?" And I thought, well, my gosh, you know, the students will all be gone. Faculty, I was sure I'll be acting president. I sat down Friday afternoon, Good Friday, and was relaxed, and the phone rang. And to shorten the story as much as I can, it wound up 4 students had been involved in a drug raid and a fatal shooting.
Oh, my.
And next thing I know, I'm dealing with the press. I'm dealing with radio. The president is in Illinois. I'm in Kentucky. I've got the entire thing to handle. We had no crisis communication plan. Fortunately, I had had some media experience, so I was able to somehow deal with the situation. I saw then that every organization, you can't think I'm exempt from something newsworthy in a negative way happening at my place. It might be a firing. It might be a fire. It might be an embezzlement. These days, it could be destruction from protesters or rioting. It could be a change in leadership. There's so many reasons that the press might be at your door. So if you would like me to, I'll give some suggestions on how to handle that.
Please.
Okay. Well, number one, be sure that you let everybody in your organization know who is going to be the spokesperson during this time of crisis, who's going to be dealing with the media, and make sure they know that only those people are. And parenthetically, I'll say that should be, in every instance, it should be the head of the organization. That's who the media want to talk with. Mm-hmm. That's who people want to hear from. And the CEO might say, well, you know, Betty over here can talk a lot better than I can. That's not important. They want to hear from the top person. Mm-hmm. So number one, let it be clear who is going to speak for the organization. A second one is be very sure that when that person is speaking, they never use the phrase, no comment. Why? Well, no comment sounds like a dodge. It sounds like you're hiding something. You don't want to give the facts. What then can you say instead if you don't have the answer at that point? The media will appreciate and respect you if you say, well, I can't answer that now because we're still in gathering that information. As soon as we have that information, I'll get back with you and be glad to give it to you. Of course, to keep your credibility, you get back with the media. When you do have that, you do not evade the question.
Hmm. Yeah, that's the big thing there that I heard. Well, there's several things there I heard, but one is plan ahead, right? Because you never know. Yeah.
Yes, and something else I would say along those lines, there's a tendency when something has happened at our business and the media comes in, there's a tendency, yes, we need to be truthful, we need to be open, we don't need to hide anything. But what should you not say legitimately? It's very dangerous for you to say, well, I think the dollar loss for our business with this fire is probably going to be in the $500,000 range. What's wrong with that? Well, you've just told your insurance company what you are expecting. And another thing is, don't say if they ask, how many fatalities are there? Or how seriously are people injured? I think there, again, it's perfectly appropriate to say, when I get that exact number, I will get back with you on that, because a wrong estimate could come back to haunt you.
Mm. Folks, we've got the guy. He's the biz communications guy. If that's something that's a problem or an issue or you need help with, this is the guy. So keep listening, and we're going to give his contact information here soon, Dr. Bill Lampton. Bill, I'm curious about the business leaders that you see today who are models of great communication.
Which ones that I've dealt with personally, you mean?
No, I'm talking about the ones that
ones in the public eye.
Yeah, the ones. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have clarified the question. What those that you point to and use as an example or as examples of great communicators?
Well, certainly, I think Bill Gates fits in that category. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates, interestingly enough, some people who are experts in communication. And I will name an example of someone who has been a pioneer in education, and yet none of us enjoy hearing him talk, and that's Ted Turner. Ted Turner is a very inadequate spokesman. Mm. And I'll have to say that I was a high school classmate of Ted's quite a few years ago, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted, I've heard Ted even give an in-person speech. When I was in Columbia, South Carolina, he spoke to the Chamber of Commerce. It was very bumbling and inadequate. So if you see Ted Turner speak, don't try to pick up pointers from him. Bill Gates, on the other hand, to me, does a very fine job, not only in content, but in down-home earth style delivery as well. There's nothing pompous about his presentations. He's certainly one that I would look to as a very good role model as a leader in business.
Now, one thing about your practice.
Excuse me, can I mention one other?
Yeah, please. Yeah, do.
Yes. Okay. Another one I would mention would be Cat Cole. Cat Cole started out as a very young lady working at Hooters. By the time she was 22 or 3 years old, Hooters was flying her to Europe to show them how to open new restaurants. She eventually became head of Hooters. She became head of Cinnabon eventually. And at age now about 43 or so, she is the CEO of Focus Brands, which includes Cinnabon and some others. I had the opportunity to hear Cat Cole speak in Atlanta in person, I suppose about 7 years ago. Met her afterwards. She has a compelling life story of someone who came up from nothing and has become an internationally respected business leader. So I say, go to YouTube and watch Cat Cole give a speech. Terrific.
Sounds like great advice. Bill, one of the aspects of your practice that you talk about is listening, and how listening is one of the most powerful communications tools that we have, yet is neglected. Now, listening is not usually thought of as a communications tool. Why don't you explain that?
As I said, it's powerful and it's neglected. One of the things I do when I'm teaching a seminar on communication, I'll ask people in there, I want you to think now, don't tell me right now, don't write it down, but I want you to think of the three people that you enjoy communicating with the most. One person within your family, one person within your friendship group, one person at your place of business. And so I give them a minute or two to identify those three people silently. And then I say, I'm going to tell you for sure, the people that you enjoy talking with the most are not the best storytellers, the best backslappers, the ones who can tell jokes and ones who can entertain you. No, the three people you enjoy being with the most anywhere are the people who listen well. What makes great salesmen, John? We've come a long way from a salesman spiel getting the sale made. Mm. We have now what's called consultative selling, and that means the sales representative listens to the needs. And then if the sales representative himself or herself can't meet those needs, they recommend somebody who can. Mm. To me, the best advice I've heard on listening comes from Stephen Covey. I'm sure many of our listeners have read his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And I love chapter 5, which he begins with this statement, seek first to understand and then to be understood. Now, John, most of us want to say, hey, wait a minute. I want people to understand me first, but that's not how it's most effective. And I'll give you very quickly the 5 levels of listening that Covey identifies. Number one's ignoring. You know, you're talking with someone and they got this glassy-eyed stare and you know their thoughts are elsewhere. Secondly, pretending. Okay, somebody's talking to us and we're giving them eye contact and we're nodding our head, but John, you're thinking problem, and now wait a minute. What was it my wife said for me to pick up on the way home from the grocery? Was it milk and bread, or what was it?
So right.
You're pretending.
Right.
The next level is selective listening. Think of the times that an employee is in a performance appraisal interview. And during the first part of the interview, the supervisor tells them all the great things they've accomplished that year. They're listening intently, but then the supervisor would say, now, Bill, we've also got some problems we need to work on, some things you need to improve. Okay, I get into selective listening. Mm. I'm not listening nearly as attentively. The fourth step up the ladder of listening is attentive listening. This means that we really are getting the words and the meaning. But the fifth level, the highest level, which Covey recommends, and you and I and every business person knows how valuable this is empathic listening. Mm. Empathic listening means we not only know the words, but we get the feelings and we listen and we ask questions until we make sure that we understand the person's content and their intent as well.
Wow. That was quite a recitation of great advice. So thank you for that. I mean, that was worth showing up for just that, Bill. So thank you.
Well, I have to give Covey credit, and I have quoted that many times. And I almost every day I ask myself, which level is your listening on today?
Mm.
I want to be on that empathic level.
I'm right there with you. That sounds awesome. Now I want to get to the work you're doing. You knew I wasn't going to leave this out. At Business Radio X, I mean, you're a host in our Gainesville studio, and you're trying to keep Bo Henderson straight. I don't know how you do that.
Full-time job right there. Interesting how Bo Henderson, my broadcast partner on Business Radio X, North Georgia Business Radio X. Mm-hmm. How we became acquainted, it was about, and this is a story of how some advertising will work when we don't think it will. Mm. Bo Henderson was in a local restaurant here and noticed they had a billboard where people had put their business cards. He found my business card, which had been there several months, I guess. He noticed that I did speech coaching. Bo was beginning then to make presentations, host seminars for financial planning. He hired me to become his speech coach. Bo then became a radio host with WDN Radio here in Gainesville. He invited me to be his guest frequently. And finally, one day, he said, why don't you just co-host with me? We did that for a while. Mm. Then we had a break from that as we were pursuing other activities in our careers. About 18 months ago, Bo said, this Business Radio X is really great, because he'd been a guest in Atlanta. I'd been a guest. He said, let's get one going here. So we've done that for about 18 months now. Mm-hmm. And now we're recording and broadcasting from WDUN, the main commercial station in this area. We're very happy to do that. We have one or two guests each time. And you know how the system works. We highlight them. We find out what makes their business valuable for people. Mm. And it's a great pleasure to also talk about, every time we talk about, in addition to their business life, what are they contributing to this community? Because that's what business leaders do.
Bill, you are a business communications expert. And you're a host on North Georgia Business Radio X. I want you to give guests on Business Radio X advice on how to shine when they appear on a show.
I believe, John, that some of the things we've said about speaking in general would apply. Don't worry that you're a bit nervous about it, especially if you haven't been before a microphone before, or if you haven't been there frequently. Your host is going to do the best to make it easy for you. When I host someone and I will talk with them about what we might be covering, I tell them our program is planned, but it's not canned. So it's not where, here is what I ask, here is when you answer. I like, again, to say this is a conversation. Mm. And just relax. Recognize, too, why you're there. You're there because you're an expert in your topic. You would not have been invited if you were not an expert in your topic. So simply have a conversation with your host that will come across as a very lively and helpful conversation with the people who listen to the show.
Great advice from Bill Lampton, Dr. Bill Lampton, who is the biz communications guy, and he is your source if you need communications help. Bill, I want you to tell folks the kind of clients that are good fits for you, the kind of folks you work with. And so maybe somebody out there might self-identify and be in touch with you.
On the individual side, John, it would be someone who knows that making presentations, both within their own organization and maybe in civic life and then to potential clients, people who know that they need to sharpen their skills along that line, I love working with them. As I said, I started my career as a speech instructor at the University of Georgia. I've never gotten away from truly enjoying helping people develop their speaking skills. With companies, corporations, large or small, I've worked with a great variety of all sizes. It could be helping them with their sales, their customer service, their management, their leadership, their teamwork, their crisis communication. So it's a wide range, but I also, of course, would, as any consultant would do, I would find out what are the pain points, what is it you need to improve, and then here's our plan for taking care of that. These days, it might be webinars. Hmm. Eventually, it will be back in person, maybe not to the extent it was. But as you and I know, John, we can get a lot of information across via Zoom or Skype or even telephone, that old-fashioned thing called the telephone. So consulting, while you and I know it's much more effective in person because we can read each other's nonverbal communication that way and we can establish rapport a bit more easily, that doesn't mean that it has to be that way alone. So we can say, in the meanwhile, we can make the most of being fortunate enough to have this technology. What if we didn't have it? My gosh, we really would be in difficulty then. And one more point there, I want to underscore to all of our listeners, get a good technology coach. In my 20 years in management, I ran from technology. I thought I couldn't possibly learn it. Luckily, when I became a consultant, I found two great technology coaches who are still with me. And I was able to learn audio and video, the web, the social media. I never did any of it alone. Don't claim to. So get the right coach technically and in the communication area as well.
Great advice from Dr. Bill Lampton. He's the biz communications guy. Bill, for those that would like to be in touch, would like more information, tell them how they can be connected with you.
Delighted to do that. My website, biz, B-I-Z, since I'm the biz communication guy, bizcommunicationguy.com. And there you'll find all my contact information. You'll find a detailed description of my services. You'll find a way to sign up for my online resource. I don't call it a newsletter. I like to call it a resource. And also, you'll find a way to sign up for YouTube. Subscribe to my YouTube channel where I have over 300 instructional videos on communication and am adding more all along. Telephone 678-316-4300. Look forward to hearing from anyone who wants to strengthen their communication skills. And John, what a pleasure to be with you today, one of the strong communicators I have the privilege of knowing.
Well, that's a high compliment coming from you. I really appreciate that, Bill. And it's great to be with you. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Dr. Bill Lampton, the biz communications guy, thanks again so much for being with us.
Great pleasure.
Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got some problems that involve administrative tasks, maybe you've got some bookkeeping work that's got to get done or caught up on, maybe you've got a presentation that needs to get prepared. Well, I've got an answer for you, and it involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo at Office Angels. She's the chief executive angel over there, I should say. 770-442-9246 is her number. Office Angels has been around for 18 years, and they've been virtual the whole time. So they're used to working in the environment we're in right now. And Essie connects you with an angel from her heavenly team who can take care of your particular problem, fly in with talent and experience, and get the job done and fly back out. So give her a call, 770-442-9246. Tell her I sent you because I use her as well. She's terrific. OfficeAngels.us is her website as well. And folks, we are on all the major podcast platforms with this show, North Fulton Business Radio. We're on Apple, Google, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Overcast, and we can also be found on the good old-fashioned PC. If you want to be on your computer and or laptop, go to northfultonbusinessradio.com, and you can find our complete archive of shows. And we would love it if you would go on your favorite podcast app and rate our show, give us a five-star review, because what it does, it helps us promote the show and get the good word out on the great work of business leaders like Dr. Bill Lampton, who have been on our show over these past 4 years. We're also on social media, so connect with us there, North Fulton BRX, on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. So for my guest, Dr. Bill Lampton, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.